Today's conference is being recorded. Should you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Thank you, sir. You may go ahead.
Thank you. This is Greg Shatton, and welcome to this special call of the single and two-character name subcommittee of the Reserve Name Working Group. This call is special in that we have two special guests, and I'll let perhaps each of them introduce themselves. And in addition, I'll take role here for our regular committee members. I believe we have Mike Rodenbaugh, Alistair Dixon.
Yep. Yes.
Patrick Jones.
Yes.
Avery Doria.
Yep.
Marilyn Cade.
Yes.
And have I left anybody else out?
Neil Blair.
And then our two special guests are Mark McFadden and Steve Bellevin. And why don't you each tell us a little bit about yourselves and your technical background and expertise, which is the reason for today's call. Mark, why don't you begin, please?
Well, thanks. My name is Mark McFadden. I'm the principal technical analyst for naming, numbering, and addressing at British Telecom. At ICANN, I'm a member of the ISP constituency. I'm the secretariat. I was also part of the first RSTEP review, which reviewed wildcards one more time last fall. My background in the DNS dates back into the early 1990s, where I was an ISP in the Midwestern part of the United States. I think that's good enough. I'll leave it to Steve.
Steve?
I'm Steve Bellevin, currently a professor at Columbia University, formerly with Bell Labs and AT&T Labs. I've been working with various pieces of internet technology since about 1982 or so, formerly on the IAB and formerly security area director of the IETF, member of the DNS directorate, used to be a member of the Crocker's SAC committee till I ran out of time. Mostly I've worked on security stuff, but I've also worked on quite a variety of internet, other internet-related issues. My first described some DNS security issues in 89 and 91, so I've been doing this for a long time as well.
Great. Well, thank you both. The reason for this call is, as you both may know, we are looking into understanding better the issues of technical issues and other issues around the reservation of single and two-character names, both at the first and second, and to some extent the third level. And we found it necessary in order to move forward in our analysis of the situation to get a better understanding of some of the technical issues and the views of the technical community in order to move forward. We have some questions that have been put together by members of this committee, but I think there will also be kind of just a chance for open discussion and for questions from the floor. So I think we can begin just by looking at the recommendations that this committee made initially with regard to single and two-character names. But for the most part, the recommendation was that there be more work. And this is now the more work period.
Greg?
Yes.
It's Marilyn. I think everyone knows this, but I might just make a comment that when we started out, we were looking at the broad category of single and two-letter characters encompassing single-letter numbers, numbers themselves, and symbols. But due to completing one stage of work, symbols have now been basically, we already have a recommendation on them, and so for purposes of this discussion, we are just focusing on numbers and letters. And that's probably worth saying, since to our technical colleagues, characters may appear to encompass all three of those subcategories.
Right. And then separately, there are also issues in the IDN space.
To which we're inviting a different set of technical folks.
Yes.
Yes.
I think it would be helpful to... We can approach this in a number of different ways, but I think it would be helpful to look at the issues at the top level first, if anybody thinks otherwise, and talk about what the issues are in using single and two-letter, single and two-number, and combination of letter and number, two-character names at the top level, understanding both the technical issues and what might be seen as any other issues that have kind of gotten swept in.
Before you do that, can I just ask a question of clarification? On the two-letter characters at the top level, don't we actually have a recommendation from our earlier work on that?
Yes, obviously, there's no technical issue around those since they're country codes.
Right.
I think
right.
We need to discuss them today.
Right, so we probably don't need to discuss that, since that's not a technical issue.
Yeah, it may be a political issue or a policy issue, but I don't think it's a technical issue.
Right.
And that might be helpful if everyone agrees to take that off the list, then that gives us more time on the other topics. Does that make sense?
Yes.
This is Greg, I think so. If anybody doesn't think that makes sense, now is the time to say so. I think we have consensus on that.
So that leaves us then, Greg, with single letters and single numbers to discuss separately at the top level. Would that be right?
Yes, and also, I guess, one letter and one number or two numbers.
Oh, good. Okay. Right. So we've got four subcategories.
Right.
Okay.
And I guess we could just, in a sense, throw it open to the experts as to what the technical issues are in single letter, single number, and letter number combinations, and number number.
Okay, this is Steve. I think that having a top level name of all digits is a very bad idea because it creates ambiguity. And there are already all numeric labels at the second level, 163.net, for example. There are many programs out there that when they see a string of digits, and so on, try to parse that as an IP address rather than as a name, and don't do the name lookup. Users don't see this very much because they wouldn't commonly do it. System administrators, network administrators do this quite frequently, and creating this kind of ambiguity is not a good idea.
So, Steve, are you saying that, this is Mike Rodenbaugh, are you saying that regardless of the length of the TLD string, if it's all numbers, then that's going to cause application errors?
I think it has a high probability of doing so. Yeah. If you wanted to say that only things that were exactly four octets, all in the range 0 to 255, could possibly be an IP address, that's fine. I'm quite certain that there's some code out there that doesn't honor that. There is some code. I'd have to go double check to see if it's on newer versions of Unix. But there are systems out there where if you type 127.1, and it will interpret that as 127.0.0.1 and assume that you left out the middle zeros. Maybe that shouldn't have been done, but it absolutely was done 20-plus years ago, and a lot of that code, I believe, is still lying around. The code goes down this path saying this looks like an all-numeric address. This is all-numeric and might not recover. And, of course, you could end up with ambiguities, and you would end up with complexity. You know, ICANN doesn't control what happens at lower level. There are names like 163.net where we have all numeric at the second level today. We certainly have no control over what they put below that.
Is it fair to say your issue is not then with combinations of letters and numbers, but solely if it's all digits?
Absolutely. Absolutely. All digits is a problem. At the second, you know, there are enough second level names that start with a digit, like 3Com, in fact, forced the issue, if I recall correctly, 10, 12 years ago. So I think we can be confident that combinations of letters and digits, even if they don't start with a letter, will work correctly. It's been out there for long enough. 3Com was, at least at one point, a very major networking player that people adapted to it. But all digits, I would not, at the top level, I think would be a very bad idea.
And it's Marilyn. I thought I recalled that there was an RFC, Patrick, that said something related to this topic about domain names need to start and stop with a letter, but 3Com would be a, at the second level, and other examples would be a variation on that. Is that not right?
Yeah, that's RFC 1030. This is Patrick, and it's RFC 1035.
Mm-hmm.
Says that domain names must start with the letter, end with a digit, a letter or digit, and have as interior characters only letters, digits, and hyphen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's even an older RFC that says it, but that's that, is 865, if I recall correctly, or 852. Okay, one of those, so I'd have to check. But yeah, the DNS technically, I have to say this, the DNS itself is capable of handling anything, but the application software frequently is not, when the application software
Fine.
Tries to parse this.
Right.
3Com forced the issue. I got the impression there was a political fight about that, but I was not plugged in enough at the time to know just what the details were.
I'd say on a practical basis, the task force should sort of consider breaking up the problem space into a group of areas, what the namespace itself allows for, what the underlying resolvers are capable of, and like Steve has pointed out, what happens at the application layer. And those are three separate considerations for the task force, I think. One thing to know is that if all you were really interested in was the rules for the namespace, the rules for the namespace say that the labels can be, well, the rules actually say that they can be between 0 and 63 characters. Of course, a zero-length label is a very special case. That's reserved for the root. But the namespace itself does support, or and Steve can help me here, I think it's 1034 says that the namespace allows for 0 to 63 character labels, with the null label being a very special case. That doesn't mean that all resolvers in the history of the DNS have been able to handle one character TLDs. By RFC, they're supposed to be able to, but we know that there's old versions of Bind in existence that presumed that that there were at least two characters in the TLD. That's not a requirement, but and those are relatively old old versions of Bind, but that's something to know of at the resolver level, that a DNS server and the clients that talk to it may have made application level decisions that are not related to the RFC. And what Steve points out about the application layer is extremely important as well, because we know that there are browsers, for instance, when they see what they consider to be malformed DNS strings, attempt to massage the strings into some other format.
Right.
So that's something for the task force to consider. So I would say, even though I've been privy to see the questions that you have, maybe organizing your thinking into these three separate problem areas is something that will help guide your work.
On the resolvers, and the old bind, isn't that pretty much, by the way, this is Aubrey speaking, that pretty much the same ones that probably weren't able to handle the 4 or 5 letter TLDs also, because they had assumed that they were either 2 or 3, and nothing but, and would you think though that something like that should be a constraint on new TLDs and policies on new TLDs, that there may be some broken or old bind out there?
I'm not very sympathetic to people running ancient copies of bind, but oftentimes there's reasons for it. They're in places where the economics does not allow for a machine on which a newer version of Bind will run. Let me pursue that question secondly. The first question you asked was about the labels at the top-level domain that were longer than three characters. In my experience, when that happened, the problem was primarily not in Bind or in other pieces of server software. The problem was at the application layer. What you had was application programmers mistakenly thinking that there was this limitation. They didn't see .ARPA, so they didn't know about it, and so they mistakenly thought that .com, .net, .org reflected a certainty in the namespace that wasn't indeed there. And then when .travel and .arrow and .info and so on appeared, the limitations of that application software became immediately apparent. For people running relatively recent versions of Bind, we didn't see a terrific number of problems there. It was much, much more the application layer, Avery.
Thanks.
Avery and Mark, this is Patrick. The RSTEP review of the .name proposal for limited release of two characters did a honeypot test to see if there were problems with resolvers reading tld.tld, and they didn't find a lot of problems with the old resolvers. In fact, it found it was not a major technical issue. So if it helps anything, there at least has been a test that could help.
It's good that there was a test. There's a truism in this business that code that has never been tested probably doesn't work. There's just been too many examples of stuff that no one ever knew needed to work or no one ever tested properly.
So I'm going to ask so single letters at the top level, which is what we're talking about, and I know we have limited time, so I'm going to propose we move along. We seem to have a general view that all numbers at all levels are bad, and that single letters by themselves at the top level, maybe we could just go back to there are no single letters allocated today at the top level. ICANN in the past did reject one single letter application that I recall, I. Is there anything else in relation to single letters at the top level that you guys would comment on before we talk about single letters? Then Greg, you want to talk about single numbers at the top level? If there's anything further to talk to about that?
Right.
Okay. But are there any other comments about single letters at the top level other than they're not in existence today? And
it's the sort of thing that would be good to do a test of at more scale to find out. If we're talking about a 10% failure rate, we're not going to know it with or 5%. We're not going to know it with a very small test.
Right.
But the notion of look at the application is very important. That's what's dominated a lot of the IETF discussions on IBM, for example, not what the DNS can handle, but what the applications can handle.
And Stephen, let me ask you a follow-up question, because this is going to be related, and maybe I hold this question, just put it on the parking lot, but come to it, and that is the existence of single letter dot single letter, as well as the existence of number dot number. You spoke already about the coexistence or the problem with number dot number. Is there a problem with single letter dot single letter? And then we would talk about that more when we talk about single letters at the second level.
I don't know of any problem with single letter dot single letter, but I do caution that RFC 1535 poses some issue. I'll come to it more when we discuss. RFC 1535 poses some issues, but I'll go into those in a bit.
Okay.
Thank you. Now, is there anything? Let's sticking to the top level. Sounds like we had digits at the first level, whether they're one, two, or even more, which is outside the scope of this subgroup. Your opinion that would be a bad idea and have a high probability of technical confusion.
Yes.
And with single letters on their own, it doesn't sound, if I could summarize, it sounds like if the issues there might arise from running an old bind.
That's the only issue that I know of. I frankly, I hadn't even heard of that until just now. I don't know of any architectural issues of single letters at the top level. The combination of single letters at the top level and the second level is more problematic. But at the top level alone, I don't see an issue.
Does anybody know how what the census is of old binds out there?
Well, can I just say something about when we say old binds, and maybe Mark, you or Steve may want to comment on this. I just spent the last week at the ITU development sector, and I think the question is not just old versions of bind, but the support that's needed to coach people through the changes or the financial investment that's needed for them to make other kinds of upgrades in the equipment and systems they're operating.
There have been, I'm pretty certain I've seen published surveys of versions of Vine that are out there, and that would be the starting point, though. I think we'd want to know where they were located if we saw any significant number of them. But I believe that question has been studied. There's nothing else from a security perspective.
Probably Suzanne Wolf might know.
She'd be a good person to ask, but I think it's also been... I think I've seen some published papers. I know I've seen one survey simply because of security holes in some older versions of Bind. I know some security people who studied the question of when different versions were deployed after the security alerts came out.
I also think, Marilyn, that there's recently been a panel at NANOG on that, on just a distribution graph of versions of Bind. And so that's another place to look.
Right.
And Mark, a follow-up question on all this. This is Mike Rodenbaugh. How far back, how old versions are we talking about here?
We're talking in the 1990s now. But remember that there are a lot of places in the network that are at the edges of the network where people are providing ISP services, transit services, and name resolution on a shoestring, on hand-me-down equipment. We're so used to, in many parts of the developed world, large-scale enterprise-class networks being the way that people get access to the network. And so those people have the most up-to-date copies of servers. They have caching servers in place. They have the works, right? It's important to remember that there are places, and Steve's exactly right, we worry about them because of security issues, but we also worry about them because of holes, things that they're not capable of doing that we expect the modern DNS to be able to do. So that's where they are, and they tend not to be in places like Washington, D.C., but they do tend to be in less developed places in the Internet.
Can I ask a question? It's Alistair here. So if, for example, these single character or single letter top-level domains were released and there were these pieces of infrastructure out there that aren't able to resolve these characters, does that cause a security and stability issue?
Probably not a security issue, but it does create a reachability issue. People under these zones won't be reachable by users in such places.
Right.
And I'll just flag a GAC principle, not to dwell on it right now, but we certainly were strongly encouraged by the Government Advisory Committee to ensure that we are sensitive to the impact on the developing country. But on the technical side, Steve, we're going to, when we talk about the second level, at the second level single letters, then you're going to talk about the coexistence issue. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Greg, do you think then it sounds to me like we're saying it's, we have to hear the rest of the story at the second level before we know whether there's a problem at the top level on single letters and on numbers. We have an answer. So does that mean we're ready to talk about combinations of numbers and letters at the top level?
Yes, I think we are, Marilyn. I guess this is Greg. I'll just ask our technical experts what their thoughts are on letter, number, and number letter. Two-character top-level domains.
So would you give an example?
Like .1b.
Or A1.
Yes.
I think it is unlikely to cause a problem per se. I'm assuming that symbols are completely off the table for many reasons. Symbols would make that much worse. But I do not think there's likely to be a problem with WISE. But again, it may be some older versions that had these wired assumptions that it was a two-letter TLD or one of the old three-letter ones. But it's not a high probability of failure, in my opinion. Empirically, there might be, but it's not one I would worry about a priori.
I think this is much less likely, actually, than the initial case that we had. First of all, there's at the application layer, there's unlikely. I think when an application sees a mix of letters and numbers, it's unlikely to try to force an interpretation of that as an IP address. That's very unlikely, it seems to me. And then the application layer wouldn't know what else to do. I find it very hard to believe that there would be application layer problems there. Again, accepting the folks who have made mistaken assumptions about what the namespace actually looks like. And I don't think that's within, well, I would advise you that other people making mistakes about the namespace is not in scope for your task force. And that would just be a piece of advice, I guess. But I agree with Steve here. I think it's very unlikely that that's a problem.
Yeah, again, we can thank 3Comp for doing us that favor 12 years ago.
And so have we then covered in the earlier discussion the combination of numbers, that is 1-1 or 1-2? Because we've already addressed the issue of the possibility of being misinterpreted as an IP address.
Right. I get all digits at the top level, I think, is a bad idea, no matter what the length.
I don't know where you were going with that, Marilyn. But on the other hand, I think that 192. Let me see here. Let me pick a better example. My home address is 513, so 513.com, I think, is well within bounds and wouldn't be a problem.
Oh, but that's not the question, sorry. I was just re-summarizing that since we said a single number at the top level was a bad idea, double numbers at the top level would be a bad idea.
Like Satan.66 or something like that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
Sorry.
We haven't moved to the second level yet. We're sticking to the top level until we beat it to the ground.
Excellent. I'll stand here and watch.
So something like Satan.66 would still be an issue.
Yeah, it's not that 66, it's 163.66 is an ambiguous parse.
Right.
So if there was, for example, the possibility of having numbers at the top level, but a requirement that only letters could be at levels below that, would that still be a problem?
I don't see a problem with that per se, though I would have to think. But you start getting to the enforcement question, and you already have all numeric ones under some of the GTLDs today.
Right.
So that becomes a fairly difficult political issue. You may not take your name to this new TLD.
And I think, Patrick, did the staff survey, I think it showed up that there are numbers at the second level in a number of CCTLDs as well as GTLDs. Isn't that right?
That's correct.
And as my conversations with CCTLD managers, just briefly, I just talked about six or seven of them, and they don't have prohibitions on numbers at the second level, generally.
So then it sounds like we have to take it as a given that there will be all number TLDs and as well as mixed number letter TLDs. Sorry, second level domains. There'll be mixed number letter and all number second level domains and at least some domains.
Right.
Most of them, I believe it was.
Yeah, we have to assume that because that's the case today.
Yes.
So I would, it's Marilyn, so I would take that to mean that the pre-existing condition is going to create a limitation on numbers of any number at the top level, and I'm going to put that as a summary note, and then are we ready to move on?
Can I ask one question? Just want to confirm something. When we're saying all symbols, we're including the dash, correct?
Actually, we haven't talked about symbols at all.
Right, well, we excluded them. We excluded symbols saying that they were out of scope, and we've talked about letters and numbers, but within the LDH, we still have the dash, and I'm never really sure whether that counts as a symbol or not. Are we excluding symbols? I mean, are we excluding dashes?
Dash is acceptable because it's been there forever.
Okay, so dash, even in, so a dash one or an A dash,
Wait a minute, Aubrey. I think we need to frame this.
It's because we've talked about letters and we talked about digits. We've excluded symbols, but there's still the dash hanging on as could you have
a single dash
in a TLD.
Aubrey, so what you're suggesting, and this may be right, Greg, and Patrick, the recommendation we made about symbols, which is that the present limitation stand, I took to include the dash. Are you raising the question?
I've never been quite sure whether it included because we differentiate between the LDH and symbols.
So
my question is, where does the dash fall? Is the dash acceptable in that? I mean, it is just one character. It is a symbol, yet it's generally not treated like a symbol.
Aubrey, would you give an example, maybe, that would be like, could I then have a dot dash?
Could you have a dot dash, or could you have a dot A dash, or a dot even, and this goes one step further, a dot dash 9?
Or a dot dash dash, for that matter.
Or a dot dash dash, yes.
Well, I am convinced that I have no idea why anyone wants those names, but I'm dying to hear the technical expert's comment.
Right, I'm just trying for completeness and looking at the stuff. I wasn't sure where it fell.
Since among acceptable characters, that's the last
month. I
mean, it's
kind of cool to have a dot dash, but anyway.
They have domain names in Morse code, yes. I think I would want to do a bit of a survey about a dash as a first character because the historical rules didn't permit it. There might be a couple of parsers out there that would object. Dash has worked well on intermediate level, on lower level names. I don't regard it as likely to cause trouble, but it's a sort of corner case that I bet no one has ever tried.
And let me just ask a question, Aubrey. You may be more of the expert on. So, what's the naming Matthew and Patrick? What's the naming convention that we have in IDNs? It's dash dash letter letter or.
Well, no, that's the letter letter dash dash.
All right, letter letter dash dash.
Right. And so yeah, no, that's already dash dash in the third and fourth position is already special case. So,
right. So we would know that we couldn't have. We know we can't have that combination.
Right, but.
Uh-huh. Right.
Unless it's an IDN, and at the moment, unless it's XN dash 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 is the only thing we could have. But that's a different issue completely, a different subgroup.
Mm-hmm. So you've asked that as a question, Mark. Do you have a comment on that, or do we just take it as Steve's suggestion that it takes more thinking and move on? At this point,
I think it takes a little. I'm sort of with Steve here. I think it takes a little research. I was just thinking back to where this all came from, and it has sort of the history in file that used to be called the host file. And I'm trying to remember in that case whether or not Dash was permitted as a character there.
Yes, it was permitted in the host file, but I think not as the first character of a name. You had sri-nick.arpa in the old host.txt file.
And so I guess that's where I would put a warning flag, Marilyn, is that Dash as the initial character is something that needs to be looked into.
Okay. I just captured that. Does that sound...
Yes, so following that logic, that would mean that a single dash obviously is in the cautionary tale, and as is a dash letter, dash digit. And that those would be... But that the... We also don't know at the moment. That leaves open the question of the letter dash digit dash.
Letter dash digit dash is likely to work.
Yeah, that. I think there's empirical evidence that that works in some CTLDs. I think we know, in fact, that letter dash or digit dash do actually work perfectly.
Yeah, but that's not what I heard. Letter dash digit is three. I'm going to call that three characters. Letter dash digit dash is four characters.
No, it's letter dash comma digit dash. Yeah, I was listening to examples. Sorry, I was
slurring there, Marilyn. Let me reparse that for you.
Yeah.
So the examples of letter dash or digit dash
Got it. Sorry. I was stringing them together. Thank you.
We can't speak anything longer than two characters in this phone call.
Okay, thanks. I know those were improbable, but, you know, since they were part of the LDH set, I was just kind of curious for completeness sake.
Yeah,
I can certainly
good to raise the issue. I don't expect trouble.
I know we're running out of time. Can we move to single letters?
I don't think we're running out of time yet. We just spent a lot of time talking about hyphen. I've got a couple follow-up questions on the single letters, Mark, if you don't mind. You're mentioning that these pre-2000 resolvers, are you certain that there are some versions of Bind that will look for a TLD of at least two characters? That's what you're saying today?
Right. The resolver itself will actually return NX domain for queries against single character TLDs.
Wait a minute.
I know but Avery asked me a question, which I never answered, and she asked me the question, well, how many are there, and do we really care? The answer to the question, do we really care, is a policy question, and while I have a strong feeling about that, that's not what you're asking me. And then Avery also asked me how many are out there, and I think that's simply a matter of research. There have already been studies. I know operations groups have been interested in that question for a variety of reasons, spam and security, and that's something that you can get some empirical data for.
Okay.
If I were to characterize it, Mike, very, very, very small.
And we already have made pressure on people in other areas to update those because of the security and other issues.
Right.
Okay. So the policy issue, it's really not something that we should be considering. Is that what you're saying, Avery?
I guess, yeah. I mean, I guess my general policy view on it is that since people already have a good reason why they should be upgrading for security and other reasons, that, yeah, I would not worry about broken applications as a policy reason to not do.
I'm going to disagree with that, though, Avery. As a business user, I can understand that we may want not to worry about broken applications, but as a business user and on behalf of the business, you know, just the business constituency, we do worry about broken applications and we worry about traffic that can't be delivered. So I guess I'm going to just reserve the, I think we do, we're asking technical questions today.
Yeah.
But ultimately, the GNSO makes policy recommendations.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So
I,
how do
I'll
we...
say that,
so, oh, go ahead, Mark. Sorry.
I was just going to say to Avery that in the case where ICANN approved TLDs that had more than three characters, even though people had broken applications, someone had to pay the bill. Someone had to answer the phone when you couldn't send mail to an SMTP address that ended in .travel. Someone had to answer that phone. And so there is a real operational cost associated with saying, well, if someone has a broken application, tough, fix it.
Mm-hmm. And it may be, you know, Mark, and you were heavily involved in trying to reach out to the industry and educate some of the parties, as I was, but not to the level you were, about what role they might have in fixing it. And in some cases, it is a bully pulpit education issue. In other cases, it's just a lack of resources. But maybe...
Yeah, I think Marilyn, we stray from the technical issues here at our peril, but if a proposal was made to have a single character, a single letter, a single number of TLDs, part of such a proposal would not have to not just be the addressing the technical issues associated with that, but how you would get the word out, how you would do outreach and education.
Right, exactly.
Right. And, of course, the problem would only really be with the first one.
I don't know if that's what .info and .travel and .museum actually found.
Okay, well, this does go into a tangent, so yeah.
Well, this is Greg. Is there anything else left at the top level? The one thing I'm not sure we've completely resolved, and I'm not saying we haven't, I'm just not sure, is the single letter question.
But we can't resolve it until we talk about single letters at the second level. So maybe we could do that one first and then go back.
Sure, we can talk about them together, although I guess my thinking is if we assume there are no single letters at the second level, do we have a problem with single letters at the first level?
But you can't assume that because you've got the same problem, Greg. There already are some. There's a large space.
Yes.
In the CCTLDs, a lesser install base in the GTLDs, but a large install base in the CCTLDs.
I see. So it's better to make the opposite assumption, which is that we will have single letter. Because we do have some. We may or may not have more, but we do have some. At single letters at the second level, and therefore single letters at the first level have to be viewed in that context. Well, why don't we move on to the second level and just segue into single letters at the second level with and without single letters at the first level and throw it open to our technical experts.
Okay, so we know that it works at least to a reasonable extent because there is some of that at the second level. The concern that I have is RFC 15. We can read RFC 1535. Now, 1535 talks about security issues when you get conflicts in names between different levels and resolvers try to be too helpful and try different search orders for you, which is, in fact, quite commonly the case. We've seen browsers that you give a single word will append .com, for example. Many other sites will have a list of domain names to type, to search. And problems actually happened some years ago with the Czechoslovakian domain. Now, that's not out there anymore, of course, because of the political issue with the Czech Republic, but they were .cs. A lot of computer science departments are .cs. And because of the search order, it ended up, you wanted to go to your department's mail server, mail.cs.something.edu, you ended up at mail.cs in Czechoslovakia. And if you have search orders, and if you have we already have problems with .com, .edu.com, I believe, was the one that triggered RFC 1535. If we have single letters at the top level and the second level, I think it's creating more potential for that to happen. So I am concerned there.
So wait, I'm sorry, Steve. It's Mike Rodenbaugh again. I want to make sure I'm clear in what you're saying. That single letters at the top level are not such a problem as far as you're concerned because of this bind issue that Mark was talking about earlier. if they don't exist at the top, if they don't exist at the second level, correct? But of course, we all know they exist at the second level. So
there are two reasons for being careful about putting single letters at the top level. One is this bind issue. The other is, given that they exist at the second level, single letter dot single letter has got, or something dot single letter has got potential for confusion because of the search order problem.
And that's an application issue that's just been developed by the browser manufacturers?
Not even browsers. The search order goes way back. It goes back to the earliest days of Berkeley Unix with the TCP/IP code to try to make it friendly to a user community which is just transitioning away from the flat namespace in the old host.txt file. People didn't want to type whole long strings. They weren't used to it. So the search order was an abbreviation. Even enshrined, one variant of it, an unqualified name, is enshrined in the mail standards, but there are other examples of it as well, in the name of user friendliness. And the problem is, when people are using these systems that do search orders, they may not even be aware of the search order, but they can get stuck by it because frequently individuals don't control the search order. It's whoever administers the system or sometimes their ISP.
What if we consider the issue of single letters at the second level in the absence of single letters at the top level? How does that parse out? That, since we've seen that work, I would assume it does work, although there are reservations or pieces of reservations existing for single letters at the second level.
I am unaware of any problems with single letters at the second level and no single letters at the top level.
And once again, from the second of the RSTEP reports, you have some empirical data to work with there to see, first of all, its prevalence. And the fact that I think the RSTEP report even has a statement about how well it works, if I remember the report right. And so I don't think that there is a technical issue there at all. And I think that there's empirical data to back that up.
That's certainly my take on it.
So then, and we've already covered numbers, and have we covered combinations at the second level?
I don't think we have covered them yet. So something like, v6.com.
We've got v6.com, we've got 3com.com, we've got 163.net. Even if we wanted there to be a problem there, there's too much of it out there.
3m.com is another example.
Yeah.
No, and even before Avery asks us, free-dot-com is going to be fine, and a-dot-com is going to be fine.
So I'm just capturing this as combination of dash plus letter or dash plus numbers at second level should be okay.
It was the other way around, Marilyn. I think Steve and I are both recommending against using dash.
As the first. Yes, yes, yes. I just realized that. Thank you. Letter dash, right?
Letter dash, number dash are acceptable technically. Dash letter dash number are expected to cause high probability of causing problems.
I finally got it. Thank you.
And I'm also unaware, to sort of flesh that out, I'm unaware of any problem associated with having the dash as the trailing character.
However unattractive that may be. Just joking.
Somebody's going to come up with some reason for it, if only to stand out.
Yeah.
I don't know of any problem. I don't know of any problems with trying that.
Okay.
it sounds then at the second level.
I don't know if one, don't think it's tremendously likely.
With two characters at the second level, it seems that the only issues we would see would be all digits or dash digit or dash letter.
We have all digits already. I haven't seen any study of two digit combinations at the second level, but we know there are three.
Yeah, but you, Greg, you meant when the two characters are at all levels, didn't you?
Not necessarily. So I am, looking to stand corrected. If .69.com is fine, then.
Well, there are. I thought, and Patrick, we can go back and look at the study that Kim did. I know there are three digits. I thought there were some two digits as well. But we can go back and look.
I believe that there are.
It does resolve.
Yeah.
69.com, unfortunately, for my firm's internet policy, does resolve and as expected.
This is perhaps an exercise left for home.
Yes. I'll try some different two-digit combinations.
So, Greg, I'm just looking at the questions that I drafted and that you edited to make sure. Should we take a quick look at that and make sure we've covered all these?
Yes.
So, the examples we went through, we talked about A.A. and 1.0 and
111.0. Those all seem to be
right. And 11.0. We did have some questions about allocation. It's probably, if we have a minute with our technical experts, it's probably worth just sharing those questions with them as well, because I think they probably have a good sense of where the broader technical community may be.
Sure. You can.
I'm going to have to drop off on fairly short notice at this point, so let's go.
Okay.
You think of question 10, Marilyn?
Yeah. So, Steve, the question goes like this. I've heard from some of the technical community that they are concerned about the fact that the allocation method might lead to further exploitation, or that some care needs to be taken in how scarce assets, such as the 27 ASCII letters or numbers that have certain kinds of identities, like 1 or 10, should be allocated. Given we've removed the idea, we're not going to be recommending numbers at the top level, as I heard this, and we're not going to be recommending letters at the top level. That would leave us with allocation questions related to the second level, I think. Does everyone agree with that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Any comments that you or Mark want to share with us on allocation methods?
I don't see any technical issues. You know, as far as I'm concerned, it's a policy question. You may get some meta issues. Are you going to squeeze out more small players with big players doing that, but that's a policy issue, not a technical issue.
Right.
I completely agree. I think question number 10 comes down to policy. There's no technical component there.
Okay.
So can we go back to question 7, actually?
Can I ask Steve, just real quick? Steve, you're going to drop off, so if we're doing a transcript, we'll just make sure we get it to you, and then if we have other questions, can we email them to you?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Thanks. Sorry, Mark. Mike, I just wanted to be sure that we lined that up.
Well, no problem, actually, because, yeah, I mean, that is kind of the future question that maybe we will send to Steve if he has to drop off now. But I just kind of, how would we, if we want to recommend further work on single letters at the top level to just, have this be the technical discussion that ends all technical discussions, when and if it ever ends, on this issue, what would need to be done to kind of test that out and see if there would be issues with single letter dot single letter that you mentioned with the search ordering applications, and that there would be issues with the old applications of bind, the old versions
okay.
of bind.
So I'm an academic, which means that I personally prefer peer-reviewed research, not just one person saying something, I did this study and here's how, but present it at a peer-reviewed venue. Let other people, technical people, look at it and say, yes, this is right, this is wrong. To quote the late Senator Moynihan, you're entitled to your own opinions, but you're not entitled to your own facts. And this is about gathering facts. I personally give more weight to something that has been looked at technically by other technical people rather than just simply presented at an ICANN meeting or an ICANN working group meeting.
Steve?
No, absolutely.
Yeah, but Steve, can we ask you a question and then we'll turn to Mark? But I'm assuming that doing such a study or doing such work and getting comments from peers, so to speak, is going to be longer than a six-month effort.
I suspect it can be done in about 6 months, but it depends on how much of that time gets chewed up front with funding, proposal negotiations, and so on. But I suspect that it can be done. You want someone with operational background and a broad perspective. We're not talking theory here. You need someone who's got the ability to go out and look at a lot of different implementations out there rather than just, oh, here's what I've got on my laptop. Yeah.
And is that something that ICANN, do you think that's ICANN's job to do? Or
ICANN's already doing it, Marilyn, in the IDM space.
They are, right, they are in the IDN space, but I was asked, and so would you consider that to be a similar, in order to prove in the ability to introduce any kind of name?
What I would do here, in answering the question, I'd go about it a little differently. I would make sure that you have a very crisp and clear problem statement that you're trying to get the answer to.
Uh-huh.
I genuinely believe that when you ask these questions, some of the questions relate to the structure of the namespace, some of the questions relate to how the DNS works,
uh-huh,
how Bind works and other DNS servers, and some of the questions relate to how applications deal with that environment. And I think that what the task force has to come up with is a very clear set of problem statements or questions that they turn to the technical community and ask for clear advice. And I think the IDN experience, especially the IDN experience where ICANN has gone out and sought operational expertise,
uh-huh,
from the community to get those answers, as it did in the case of IDN, is something that's perfectly appropriate in this space.
That's what I wanted to understand. You think it could be. And that's been about a three-year effort?
I think it's been a three, not to be argumentative here, but it's been a three-year effort, not because getting the technical answers has taken that long, but getting the politics straightened out has taken that long.
Well, and some advances on the standard side, too. Okay. Okay. Anything,
It's also been, I think it's as much political. People didn't like the answers they were hearing.
Right.
For their own policy reasons.
Those days may not be over. Oh, my God.
I'm sure they're not. But you know that better than I do.
So, Greg, what do you...
I think there was a call to switch to question number 7, or...
I think that's what Mike just asked.
Yeah. So, do we have anything further on that?
So what I heard is that the task force, we're not the task force, we're the working group, but I assume...
And we're not really the working group, we're the subcommittee of the working group.
Yeah, but I was thinking, Mark, I think you met us, right, that we that we would need to recommend to the task force a clear set of problem statements and questions, and those would need to be well-documented, clearly thought out, and then potentially turned to the technical community for clear advice. I got that part. And then you and Steve were both suggesting that a model might include looking at a model for process, might include looking at the kind of work that's been done on the IDN space. Is that right?
And I am very confident of that because, first of all, I worked with those folks in the first RSTEP committee.
Uh-huh.
And they're already sort of set up to go for problems like this. I think it would be relatively easy for ICANN to take advantage of both their operational, technical, and protocol expertise, and I think that you could get an answer from them in a relatively short amount of time, certainly less than 6 months, as long as the questions were very crisply delineated.
And, okay, that may be a different question.
So, Mark, you said the RSTEP committee could possibly take a look at this.
I was just speaking from personal experience there, because I had worked with Lehman in the first RSTEP proposal, but it's the work that company did on the IDN testbed that I've been very impressed with, and it's work that is very much down this path, where you have a very specific concrete question about a very specific combination of characters and labels, handing it over to people who have both the time and the expertise to give you precise, operationally oriented answers, I think is a very valuable thing to recommend to the task force working group subcommittee.
So, Mark, you're referring to Autonomica.
Right.
And ICANN, I believe, paid them a consulting fee to do the test. Like, we paid them some amount of money.
Right.
And I would think that a recommendation here is to get good answers to this question at an operational level and a technical level. I mean, you only have, if you take a look at your notes, or at least what I've been following along here, you only have a small number of questions left over. I mean, it's a very, very small set of questions.
Right.
And so while Autonomica was paid, let's say, N amount of money for doing the IDN work, I don't think it would be anywhere close to that scope to get the answers to these questions.
And what I'm understanding you to say is that I might call this the scouting that Autonomica did in order to verify and check out IDN capability. It would be sort of that same scouting effort that they would undertake. Meaning,
scouting, I might look for a different word as so often happens between the two of us, but it's something like that. You know, it's technical proof of concept. It's the answers to very specific questions that we have about very particular labels at this point.
But also knowing broadly who to ask.
Right, because ICANN has confidence in a group who's already provided answers in a similar vein.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm going to ask a different question. There's no, you know, there may be some companies who are interested in single letters, but it isn't necessarily ICANN that's interested in single letters. While the broad community had endorsed the importance of IDNs,
I don't think that changes the character of the technical questions. I think what you're driving at are more policy issues than that.
Okay.
Well, this is Greg. It doesn't sound, just to wrap up before, it didn't sound like there was a technical question with single letters at the second level, so long as there are no single letters at the first level.
Right. That was what I captured.
Right.
And so the questions are, and let me just verify this with Mark, and I don't know if Steve has gone or not. So the questions,
I'm actually able to give a few more minutes than I thought.
Okay.
Thank you.
So the questions are single letters and single letter dot single letter, but we are not going to pursue numbers at all, right? We're going to accept that answer. Can I just verify that?
Okay.
So numbers dot numbers, we're not.
Well, I guess I think if people are going to be testing single letter TLDs, why wouldn't they just test a couple single number TLDs at the same time and look at those results?
I think, again, the issue is if we accept no numbers at the first level, that numbers at the second level, I guess, was there a technical question with two numbers at the second level, assuming?
No. According to my notes, there's not.
Right.
But I was just trying to verify, I want to stay away from, I personally am not really interested in wish lists. I'm trying to understand what's really practical and needed to do. And so I'm just trying to capture this. Single letter dot single letter, Mark and Steve, we've kind of said, okay, there could be an autonomica, in quotes, type test, maybe someone else, but autonomica type testing. Are we also suggesting...
Well, no. I said that there might be an RFC 1535 search order question with that.
Right. And that's right. Important. Thank you.
By the way, while we're talking, I went to Linux machine and found that I was right about the ambiguity about the digits at the top level. If I ping 127.1, it parses it as an IP address.
Aha.
That's Linux.
So, this is sounding to me like we have to do more work on what our questions would be. Steve has identified there may be RFC 1535 search order type questions, and we identify ambiguity in digits at the top level. So where does that leave us on what we might pursue we aren't going to pursue number dot number for further testing? What we want to pursue single letter dot single letter for further testing, is that our recommendation? I'm just trying to capture this. Or do you want me to kind of toss up a couple of options and people chew on it by email?
I think that might be the better idea, Marilyn. I think that would be the best way to go.
Okay, so I'm going to do a few options, and people are going to understand that I'm just trying to capture this from my rough notes, and then they will make comments themselves, and I'll add Steve and Mark to the email string on the copy list, okay?
Sounds good.
Okay.
Well, thanks very much, Mark and Steve. Really appreciate it.
No problem.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you
for accommodating a time when I could make it. Time I find open slots in short supply these days.
Thank you, Steve.
I'm glad we could accommodate everybody, and I think that does bring us to the end of today's call. We do have our call tomorrow.
It does, but I'm going to try to really work on this tonight, and so that you have something to report on. I'm going to try to have draft recommendations for people to look at tomorrow morning.
Yes, if we could look at those tomorrow morning, and then on our call for this subgroup tomorrow afternoon, we can discuss those and other things.
So we have a subgroup for our call tomorrow afternoon, then we have a
full working group call on Wednesday.
We'll be done by Wednesday.
Okay.
As opposed, we'll just be really done.
Yes, we'll be well done by Wednesday. Well, thank you to our technical experts, and thank you to the subcommittee.
See you on the net.
Bye.
Goodbye, all.
Bye.